Luke chapter 12, we want to read from verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Amen. Let's just come to the Lord as we approach his word tonight. We need his help. I'm going to ask you a very personal question tonight. I'm going to ask you how rich you really are. How rich are you tonight? Maybe as you think of all of the accounts that you have and all of the monies that you think that you have, and whenever you do all of the balances and all of the minuses and you do all of the sums, maybe you're not just as rich as you would like to be. This is a question that as we go through life, it bothers us at some stage. Whenever you go to apply for a loan or any of those things, we always consider what we have or what we don't have. Sometimes when we go to buy something, we consider what we would like to have and what we don't have. Maybe you're able to say that you're a millionaire. Well, I'm not. Maybe you are. Maybe you are almost there on the first million. Well, I'm just about coming up close. So if you're a pound behind me, you're in a bad way of going. But that's something that we all maybe would like to say. I'm a millionaire. I'm very wealthy. I've worked hard all of my life. I've achieved great things. I have the career that I've always wanted. I have the home that I've always wanted. I have the car that I've always wanted. Maybe the family that you've always wanted. And there isn't really many more ambitions left in life for you to fulfill. You've worked really hard and you've done all of the things that you've set out whenever you left school that day, and all of those big ideas that you had, you've fulfilled them all. All of your dreams have been answered. You're maybe even able to say tonight that your life is perfect. Everything in your life is 110%. Well, I'm going to tell you tonight how rich you really are. I haven't went to your bank manager. I don't know what bank books you have, but I can tell you tonight how rich you really are. Our wealth consists of those things that money cannot buy or that death cannot take away from us. That is really what our wealth consists of. The Bible tells us in this portion of Scripture that we have read that the Lord Jesus is giving many lessons to the multitude about worldly possessions and all of the monies and assets of this world. And in verse 34, he says something to them. It tells us there, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Your wealth consists of those things that money cannot buy or death can't take away from you. What are the things that money can't buy? Well, tonight, money can't buy health and strength. Money cannot buy happiness and contentment. Money can't buy a good testimony. Money cannot buy salvation. Money cannot buy us into heaven. It cannot buy us a stable mind. It cannot buy us a happy family. It cannot buy us all of the achievements and objections and the delights and the simple things in life. What things can death not change? Or what things can death not take away from us? Well, death cannot take away our salvation. Praise God tonight that if you're saved, you're always saved. Jesus has washed away your sin. Your sins is always washed away. Your name's written in the Lamb's book of life, and heaven is your eternal home. Death cannot change that. But for the Christian, death is just that doorway that opens up into God's great eternity to spend it there in the presence of the King. Death cannot take away our sin. Sometimes we talk to people on the doors and they would believe that after they die, their sin will almost be removed. I don't know where they get this teaching from. Maybe it's an idea adopted in their own mind for their own peace of mind. But they would seem to believe that whenever they die, their sin somehow will vanish and be gone. So having considered these statements and examined these facts, now how rich would you really say that you are? How rich, really, are you tonight? Many things go hand in hand with wealth. Pleasure, prosperity, achievement, maybe pride, privilege, and even problems. We want to look tonight at a rich man, and we want to think of the pathway that he walked in life. I wonder, is there anybody here tonight, and you're going the very same way? Maybe you say to me tonight, Mark, I couldn't be going the very same way because I don't have the wealth and I don't have the assets that this man had in Luke chapter 12. You don't need to be wealthy tonight. You don't need to be rich to be going the very same way that this man went in Luke chapter 12. The first thing I want us to consider tonight is his prosperity. In verse 16, it tells us there, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Can you tell me tonight, was this man really happy? Do you think this man in his heart of hearts was happy? Of course he was. He was a businessman. As he looked there at his ground, as he looked at the assets and the wealth and the crops and the abundance of his fruits, of course he was healthy. Of course he was happy. He was on top of the world. Things was going so well for him. That word ground in verse 16, it would give us the indication of land or country. Commentators would believe that this man was so wealthy, he owned a country all to himself. He just wasn't your average farmer, but he owned a whole country. This man indeed had a very own lordship. He was lord over his very own country, a prince. With all of his wealth and all of his power, things was going really well for him. Little by little he worked hard. Little by little he set out to make achievements and to make wealth and to have a good abundant crop and to do well in that field. That's exactly what he did. He loved to see things grow. He wanted to see things develop and mature. Most of all, his assets. He wanted to make money. He wanted to increase in wealth. He wanted to be successful. Those are things that we all want in life. There's none of us any different. No, not one. We all want to achieve. We all want to do well in life. We all want to have a comfortable way of life. And this man was no different. And he had all of those things. And of course, for that reason, he was happy. What really more could this man ask for? Nothing. What more did this man need? The answer tonight is, surely it must have been nothing. This man had everything that he wanted. You think of some of the wages that people earn today. Colossal amounts of money. They could buy absolutely anything. Almost anything in this world. They could have it if they so wish. But there was one thing missing from this man's life. This man, with all of his assets and benefits, I'm sure tonight you would say that this man was shrewd. He was sharp. His mind was very active and very, very good. But one thing that he never thought much about or anything about was salvation. He never stopped to think about God. Notice with me in verse 17, and he thought within himself. He thought within himself. I remember working with a man and he had achieved much in business and he was always thinking. Every single moment of the day he was thinking. And as you watched him, he wasn't even listening to what you were saying. He wasn't even thinking about what you were asking. You know the way some people there, they bite their teeth. And you see the sides of their jaw going in and out. And you could see in the eyes just almost behind his eyes, all the cogs were just going round and round and round. It was like a cartoon. And he was just always thinking. This man was like that. He thought within himself. He was always thinking about what he could do just a little bit more. Some more progress. This shows us very clearly the workings of his heart. His mind was actively thinking. Maybe that's you tonight. You're here in church and you're not listening to what I'm saying. The lights are on, but nobody's at home. And the cogs in your mind are just thinking. And you're going on and on and on about everything else. What you're going to do tonight. What you're going to have for your tea. What you're going to have for your supper. Maybe what the youth rally will be like. Maybe who's going to be there. What you're going to do at work tomorrow. Will it be an easy day or a hard day? Will it be a good day or a bad day? You're thinking about some other thing. But you're always thinking. Here was a man and he was always thinking, but he wasn't thinking about God. And how many of us, as we go through life, we are always thinking. From we get up in the morning till we go to bed at night. In May of this year, we had a little girl born. The third in the household. And that's when the trouble starts. Two boys and a girl. And the girl's there now, so there's trouble in the house. But I have often looked at those little ones, even in their infancy, so small and so tiny. And I've often wondered, what are they thinking? You know the way we look at somebody and we think, he's nice, I like that tie, or he's wearing glasses, or you always have a thought in your mind. We think in our own language. What language do they think in? But I wonder what they're thinking. Even as young children, children still think. I wonder tonight as I look at you, what are you thinking? Are you thinking he's got a nice tie and he's wearing glasses? Or are you listening to the message? Are you thinking to yourself, tonight I might just have Jesus as my Savior. Tonight I might just have Jesus to wash away my sin. God knows your heart. And as this man was going on in life, doing all of the things that he was doing, God knew his heart. He knew every thought and every intention of his being. And God is the same tonight for you. With all of this man's prosperity, it led him straight into a problem. With the way that he was going in life, it brought him directly into a problem. Maybe here tonight in Coleraine, the way that you're walking in life, it's bringing you straight into a problem. Because you're walking on that broad road, that road that leads to a lost eternity. And maybe you have prospered in life, and you've done well. And in the thing that you wanted to do, you have achieved that, and you can't achieve much more. You've done well. But because of the way that you've chosen in life, that sinful way, that broad road, it's leading you on into a problem. The problem of a lost eternity. I want us to see also the problem that this man faced. Because in verse 17, he's thinking within himself, saying, "What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits." You would think because of his prosperity and all of his achievements, he would be able to sit back and take things easy. He wouldn't have any problems. Maybe the problems that you face week by week, you would put them down to the fact of not being financially secure. Well, here was a man, and he was financially secure, and he still had problems. He still had worry. As he looked at the abundance of his crops, as he looked at the vastness of his land, he was still faced with problems. Rather than sitting back and just thanking God for his gracious goodness and kindness to him, he didn't do that. He was perplexed. He was full of anxiety. His mind was overwhelmed with problems and worry, disappointments, discontentments, unhappiness, worry, stress, all of those things. Here was a man who had reached financial security and he should have been so happy. But he wasn't. He wasn't at peace. He was full of worry. And in verse 18, we see what he was going to do. He said, "This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. There will I bestow all my fruits and my goods." That was it. So simple. So easy. He looked at the abundance of the crops that he had. He looked at all of his hard work and he thought, "I'll pull down them barns and I'll build a bigger one. And I will then have all of my crops and fruits safely stored away." The frightening thing about verse 17 and 18 is, and I have it highlighted in my Bible, we'll read it together, "And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits.' And he said, 'This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul.'" This man has to be one of the most selfish people in all of the Bible. I don't think I've ever heard as many I's and my's in all of my life. You ever talk to somebody that's selfish? You ever see somebody that's selfish? They hold on to all of their things for themselves. They wouldn't give you a sweet if they had one. They wouldn't give you a cup of water if you were choking. There's people like that, you know. You maybe don't have them in Korean, but they're out there. Here was a man who was very selfish. Because this man put all of his achievements and all of the things that he had down to himself. He didn't think about God at all. There's a lesson for us to learn over in the book of Job. Job chapter 1 and the verse 21. Job said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." We touched a little on it this morning with Abraham. All of the things that we have is from the hand of God. We have learned that from Luke chapter 12. God has even knowledge about the lilies, the ravens, all of those things in this world. And God knows what we need. Verse 30, "For all these things do the nations of the world seek after." You know, whenever I read that verse in preparation for this message, the nations of the world, I thought of the credit crunch. It's a global problem. All of the nations of this world are concerned about assets and finance and all of those things. Isn't it good as a Christian to be able to say, "Our Father knoweth that we have need of all these things"? Isn't it good to have Christ as your Savior? Isn't it good to know that he's looking after us, that we are able to say, "Jesus loves me, this I know. He's looking after me. My heavenly Father knows that I need all of these things." And as promised in verse 31, "Seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." That's a familiar verse. But the The one over in Matthew tells us that we're to seek first the kingdom of God. How many of us tonight as Christians are really seeking first the kingdom of God? How many of us tonight are seeking it first, and then we will have all these other things added unto us? This rich man was full of selfishness. I would find it hard to believe tonight that there's anybody selfish in this church tonight, but I believe there is. I believe tonight in Coleraine that there are selfish people here in this church. Oh yes, if you had a bag of sweets, you would give me one. If I needed a glass of water, you would give me one. But in your heart and in your mind, you're nothing but a selfish, greedy person. Do you know why? Because you are saying, just as this man said in Luke 12, you're sitting back and you're saying, I will keep my sinful pleasure. I will live my life the way that I want. And I will get saved in my own time. And God, I will get to heaven my own way. Surely that has to be an element of selfishness, just as we read about the rich fool there in Luke chapter 12. What a foolish way to think. The very breath that we have is held in the hand of God. It was a foolish thing for this man to pull down his barns and build bigger ones. He had all of the worry and the stresses and the anxiety of all of those things. Some people would maybe say that it was progress. I don't know. But what I do know is that in all of his plans and intentions, he never gave thought to God at all. The greater his barns, the greater his problems. And that brings us on to his presumption, because in verse 19, it tells us there, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Haven't I done really well? Look at all of the things that I have. Look at everything that's mine. I'm going to take it easy. Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. This man wasn't planning on going anyway quickly. He was going to have a good time for many, many years. In all of his success, in all of his plans, he never mentioned God once. How many of us, as we start out every single day, how many of us bring God into our plans? As we rise from our bed in the morning, how many of us have the thought of God in our mind? I was just coming down the road today and I was thinking about the message just this evening there, and there was a bit of an idiot in a car, is the only way I could describe it to you. And I just thought to myself, how many people start out on a journey and they never ever reach their destination? We never think of those things. We never stop for a moment to think that it might just be us today. We never stop to think. We're almost like the rich fool, and we think that we should have many years. We have many years yet, all of our successes and plans. This man, God, was never in his thoughts. He never said, if God allows, if the Lord wills, if the Lord gives me health and strength. He never said any of that. God was closed out of his life. There was no room for God in this man's life. Let me ask you tonight, are you closing God out of your life? What a foolish thing to do. It's nice to do well, and it's good to have achievements and ambitions. I would be the first to say that all of those achievements and things that you have done in life are good and proper, and there are those that the Lord does bless and prosper. And I do believe that every single person in this church tonight, buried somewhere in your life, is a gift and a talent that God has given you. It might be something simple. It might be something vast and great, but everybody has a little talent and a special little ability that God has given, a little thing that only you can do. It is good to have all of those ambitions and desires. The Bible says that we are to put God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Don't close God out of your life. You're here tonight and you're still in your sin. You're closing God out of your life. You're presuming that you're going to have many years. You know that you must be saved. You know that you must be born again. But you're like this man in Luke chapter 12. and forgetting about all of his wealth and achievements, you are saying to yourself, as he did in verse 19, he had much laid up for many years. You're saying to yourself, I'm going to live for many years. I'm going to take my ease. I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. There's much for me to do in this life. But you never stop to think for one moment. But the Bible tells us in Proverbs 27, verse 1, boast not thyself of tomorrow. This man had enough for many years, but he wasn't going to be there to enjoy it. He wasn't going to be there to spend it. He wasn't going to be there to benefit all of the good times that he had planned. He wasn't going to be there. He had never acknowledged that there even was a God. Psalm 14 verse 1 says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. If you look at that verse there, you'll see the words "there is" in italics. The fool hath said in his heart, no God. No God for me. The words "there is" there for the flow of meaning. No God for me. No God in my life. No God's going to tell me what to do. I know of a wealthy businessman who isn't very far away from where I live. And he has said in his heart, he's not saved, and he has said that he doesn't need to have God in his life. Because look at all I have. Look at all of I have done. I don't need God in my life at this stage now. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. He never even thought that he was going to die. I wonder tonight, are you presuming on God's grace? Think of the missions, think of the meetings, think of the Sunday school, think of all of the opportunities that have passed you by. And you have said, no God for me. You're not thinking about God, you're not thinking about death. I have many years, Mark. I'm going to take my ease, I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. Hebrews 2 and 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? I'm sure this man in Luke 12 was very diligent. You can't be successful in whatever you do and be careless. You can't. You cannot be successful in anything in this life and be careless. You have to be diligent. You have to be careful and you have to be cautious. You have to be thorough and you have to think everything through and make sure that it's the right way to go. And I believe that in all of his success, that was the very thing that he did. But concerning his soul, he was so careless. He never stopped to be thorough. He never gave it any thought. He never gave it any thinking. He just presumed. Let me ask you tonight, are you presuming on God's grace? Notice with me lastly his plight, because in verse 20 it tells us there, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Here was a man who had ignored God. He had closed God out of his life. So God was going to step into his life. God had made a statement and asked a question. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. That was the statement. God had made a statement to this man. Those words are very frightening. Those words are very serious. If you're not saved tonight, you look at them in your Bible and you read them. And you think of them. God said that about this rich fool. God said this about this man in Luke 12. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. God was saying to this man, tonight your time's up. Tonight, that's it, your life is over. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? I was speaking to a wee woman not that long ago whose husband passed away. And you know, the saddest thing that she had to do was sort out her husband's possessions. And I think that has to be a very sad thing to do. And then the wife or the husband, they know the possessions that their partner had, and that's fair enough. But you think of a stranger coming in to go through your belongings and through your things. It means nothing to them. They go through all of those precious little notes and precious little cards and precious little things that you treasured and those things that were precious to you, but to somebody else, they mean nothing. One man's junk is another man's treasure. Isn't that what they say? And what is your treasure means nothing to anybody else. I could show you birthday cards that I received whenever I was 6 or 7 from my granny and even my parents and those things there. To me, those are precious. But to other people, they probably mean they make paper airplanes out of them, or I don't know what to do with them. But to me, those things are precious. You maybe have little things in your drawer at home, at the side of your bed, that's precious to you. The Lord says that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I wonder where your treasure is tonight. I wonder, is your treasure in heaven? Or is your treasure here? This man, his treasure was in this life, and God called him a fool. How would you like to be called a fool tonight? How would you like me to come up to you and ask you a question about something that you did in life and just bluntly say, you're a fool. You're a fool. What did you do that for? You're a fool. God said to this man that night, thou fool, tonight thy soul shall be required of thee. Why was this man a fool? He was a fool because he neglected God. He closed God out of his life. So that means then that if you're closing God out of your life, that means then that by the same measure, if you're not a Christian and you don't know Jesus as your Savior and you're not giving any thought to God, any thought to eternity, and you're thinking about the things of time and sense, that means then that God tonight is able to say, thou fool. It's not me that's calling you a fool tonight, but it's God. What a foolish way to live your life. What if God were to say this about you? Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Turn over to Revelation chapter 3 and the verse 17. Revelation chapter 3 and the verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. That's the picture of the sinner tonight. The sinner is wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And before a holy God, we are nothing. But isn't it good to read on down in verse 20? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door and will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Yes, we might be wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked sinners. But tonight Jesus is knocking at our heart's door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, open that door. You might be all of those things listed in verse 17. You might acknowledge that that's what a sinner is. But isn't it good to know that Jesus died for the wretched sinners that we are? Isn't it good to know that Jesus shed his blood that we might go free? Friend, tonight without the Lord we are nothing. All that we have and all that we are. Without Christ, all that we are is found in him. What will your answer be tonight? Tonight the Lord wants to save you. Tonight the Lord wants to take away your sin, that you might be ready for heaven. What are you going to say to him tonight? Not tonight. Some other time. God's answer to you then will be, thou fool, thou fool. And you may be, it may be the case tonight that you may never ever be able to say anything again. You know, sometimes, and with this I close, because of the work that I do, we visit different people in different stages of sickness and illness, and it's just part of what we do within church work. We go to visit people in hospital or in their home or people that are very low. And, you know, sometimes I think of the suffering and the sadness that people go through before they pass away. And, you know, sometimes you think of those people that are taken very quickly and they don't have any of that suffering. They don't have any of that illness and turmoils to go through before they go out into God's eternity. But you know, there's one thing sure, that we need to be ready. We need to be ready. Whether our illness is long, or whether we're called away quickly, we need to be ready. I wonder if God were to say to you tonight, thou fool, Some people there maybe tonight are sitting in a hospital, and I could take you to some that I know. And for days and weeks and months they've been there suffering. Tonight you could go home as bright as a button. And you could go down into your bedroom and you could put your head in the pillow. You could close your eyes and sleep. And you could just sleep away into God's great eternity. What if tonight God is saying to you, thou fool, tonight thy soul shall be required of thee. What if tonight God is knocking on your heart's door? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And you hear that knock. And you're saying, no, God, for me. And God just says, thou fool, because tonight thy soul shall be required of thee. I'll ask you the question, then where will you be? I trust that if you're not saved tonight, you'll come to know Jesus as your own and personal Savior. I don't know when I'll be back in Korean. I don't know when I'll see you again. But what if it be the case the next time I'm here that your seat is empty? Where will your soul be? There's a dear old lady from our Tundragee Church who is being led to rest today. Her husband died some years ago, and I was thinking about her today. She's in the presence of the King today. I wonder where you will be in eternity. Let's close our time in a word of prayer.